Blog Talk Radio.
Afternoon, this is Elohim, your host for today. You are listening to our national anthem, The Age of Freedom Has Come. Well, you know, it's something that has to be won. You got to work for it. They're not going to give it to you, you know. And as cosmic energy, we can do or accomplish what we will, okay? Well, we always start off the program by talking about love first, because we think that love is so important. And that the reason why we're not getting along, why things aren't going the way we're supposed to be going, because the 1% do not want you to know what love is. If you talk to 10 people, 9 out of 10 of them will give you different answers about love, because they don't want you to know what love is. And this is why we emphasize that on every show. Love is the act that makes others feel good. Think about it for a second. If everybody only committed acts that made other people feel good, what would there be to fight about? You wouldn't commit adultery on your wife or your husband because it wouldn't make them feel good. It wouldn't make you feel good, so it's not going to make them feel good. You wouldn't cheat or lie about two people because it wouldn't make them feel good. You wouldn't steal from nobody because it wouldn't make them feel good. You know, I mean, the things that we do, we're not thinking in terms of how does it make the other person feel. We're thinking about what we need and what our gains are. and it's how we've been raised in this particular culture. So love is an act that makes others feel good. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on love. We're not going to go to the whole nine yards. But we do want to mention it every show, every segment, because it's the most important message that we can give out. Out of everything that we say every Sunday, the most important thing is the art of love. Art, love is an art, and it has to be practiced. So you have to learn or begin the thinking process or the thought process of what can I do today to make this person feel good, or what can I do to make that person feel good. And if they're making you feel good, you're making them feel good, oh, man, what a wonderful day it's going to be, okay? Now, the topic of the day is that Jesus gave disciples to understand politics. What were they? Now, that's very interesting because they used the Bible to take over the most powerful countries on earth. How did they do that? I mean, that's something to think about. See, these guys just crawling about that little island they was on, and they couldn't get off the island because they didn't understand the current. They couldn't travel the sea. They thought if they traveled a little way, they were going to fall off the earth. These guys didn't, the Greeks and Romans did not have enough sense to get out of the rain. All of a sudden, they come out so wise and so knowledgeable about everything. Where did they get all this information from? First, they went and they studied under you, okay? They studied under the Egyptians to learn how did these people set up a global empire. You know, what do they know that we don't know, okay? So they went and studied under the Greeks, found out what was going on. They learned a little bit about my aunt, but the keys wasn't there. I mean, everything was in my aunt, but it wasn't broken down where they could see exactly what to do with it, because in the mystery schools in Egypt, you have to get to a certain rank in the mystery schools to be able to decipher some of the information that they was giving out. So what happened? All of a sudden, here comes Constantine. Now, they knew that dealing with coming from the Egyptian teachers, that they had to have force. They knew what freedom was, freedom and control. And the only way you can get control over somebody else is that you have to have power. You have to have enough power to control them. Like Jesus said in the Bible, how can you go into a strong man's house without the ability to be able to bind him to take his goods? So they had the force, or did they ran into Hannibal? Hannibal would have stopped most of that. And they said, wait a minute, something's missing here, because we got the force, but we can't just dominate everything like we want to dominate it, you know? I mean, this guy come across Swift's house and kicked our butt here. So what are we missing? So in the Bible it says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. That's Matthew 12:25-26, okay? Now, a house divided against itself can't stand. Constantine thought about that. Wait a minute. A house divided against itself can't stand. So we can divide these guys up, get them fighting one another, they won't be able to stand up. They won't be able to survive. There's something to this book. This book is teaching us the art of war. And the art of war don't start on a battlefield. It starts with the mind. It starts with the concepts and the culture. He said, how did this guy know about the art of war? Now, they begin to learn the lessons. They begin to use the teachings as ciphers to understand how to do things. This is where they're getting everything from. Now, it says look at your situation. In the book, In that particular passage, he's taught them about divine encounter. And he began to use it on everything, and everybody, in politics and business and warfare, and everywhere they can get their hand, everywhere they could, they began to use it as cipher of divine encounter. That's where they got it from, okay? They didn't just come up with it all on their own. They got it out of the same book, the book that you gave them that a lot of us are throwing in the trash, think the book ain't nothing. Now, this is something that's very interesting. When we're talking about the ciphers, right? Look at your situation today. the heavy divide on everything, right? Now, I mean, just think about what's going on. That's their art. That's the, once they learn that art, they begin to use it and they conquered the known world. It wasn't so much with the gun, but it was with the book. It was with the knowledge that this book made them wise, okay? That's why they made it against the law. Once they got you over here, it was against the law, penalty of death, for them to teach you how to read this book. And one question of reading this book is a question of being able to see how to use the book. Now, the first slave masters, when they got over here, they knew how to use the book. But a couple of generations after that, their children knew how to read it but didn't know how to use it. And that's when they allowed you to begin to read the book. They don't mind you reading it, but they don't want you to be able to see what's going on, you know? I mean, think about the way they got us about it. Some say the Bible is a good book. Some say the Bible is a fake. Some get involved in religion. Some say religion is mind control. Some think that they're free. Some think that we're still slaves. Some want to fight the system. Some want to make the system better. Some don't care one way or the other. They look like, man, I don't care about none of this stuff. Some are not into politics, they're into sports. Some are not into politics, they're into music. Some are not, there is not one issue that every American agree on. Not one. Think of anything. There's not one issue on how we can conduct ourselves sexually. We don't agree on that. How we should take care of our children. We don't agree on that. Where the money comes from. We don't agree on that. How politics, how they're spending our money. We don't agree on that. We don't agree on nothing as a group. And this is by design. The culture was set up on the divide and conquer principle. How do you think 1% can run the whole country? Because they got the 99% divided on 99 different things. So if you divide on all those things, when you come together, they're only facing 1%. And when they come together, they're 1%. And they're 1%, since they're focused and determined on a controlling agenda, because they know what freedom is, you don't. So you're not fighting for control. You're fighting for some concept of freedom that don't mean nothing, you know? Think about this for a second. All the great men and women, now we're dealing with the black community right now, so-called black community, all of the great men and women that have came here that have set up all these huge groups and this wonderful talk and everything about freedom and we got to get this, we got to get this. You can count on your hand how many people in these groups actually got free. You know what I mean? Only one actually had any semblance of freedom were the leaders because they were in control. See? Most of the groups was dictatorial in nature. So if you under a dictator, there's no freedom under no dictator. You're not in control of anything. The dictator controls everything. Think about the churches and all that stuff that you have. You might have a little committee, but they bring in the leader, the preacher or the minister or whatever leader of your organization that you have. They bring them in, and they begin to dictate policy and what needs to be done. Okay, so there's no real freedom. We don't know if freedom is control. Think about how much control do you actually have over the country? None. You've got no real control. You have the illusion of control, all right, because they have, now they understand what's going on, so they give you the illusion of control. How do they give you the illusion of control? Now, wait a minute. How are you going to make me think I'm in control and I got everything in my favor and I'm not really in control of nothing? How do they do that? Where in the Bible do they teach them how to do that? Well, it says in the Bible that a house divided against itself can't stand. So Jesus says Satan cannot cast out Satan. Matthew 12:27-28. Listen to this carefully. If Satan cannot cast out Satan, how can a Republican cast out the Democrats? How can a Democrat cast out Republicans? They're the same guy. It's good cop, bad cop, but they both work for the same precinct. Okay? This is what you have, the illusion. Satan is up against Satan. Was that I'm like Muhammad says, Satan or the devil. But it's an illusion. Republican, the difference between Hillary and Clinton, there is no difference. Okay? One is the good cop. One is the bad cop. Okay? This is how it works. When Obama ran, Obama was a good cop. And who did he run against? Was it Mitt Romney? I forget who he ran against. Nobody remembers the loser. But McCain. McCain was a bad cop. Obama was a good cop. But they both the same guy. When he got in there, a lot of things changed for the better for the people, but not that much. You know? Ain't nothing changed that much for the poor people because they need the slaves. Poverty is slavery for the rich. Okay? Poverty is slavery for the rich. The middle class works poverty. After middle class works poverty, then the poor is worked by the rich through the middle class. Everything is done through the middle class, okay? Because the middle class is like lieutenants and captains. They're like in control of the troops. So they make sure that the troops are doing what the 1% want them to do, because if the 1% don't loan them money and do what they do through the banks, the middle class will shut down. It's the middle class for the small business owners. You know what I mean? And small business owners hire most of the jobs come through the small business owners, not the big guys. You know? So it says here, Satan cannot cast out Satan. So you're thinking, oh, well, I'm going to vote Republican. I'm going to vote Democrat. It's going to make a big difference on who make that big a difference. Now, me, am I going to vote? Absolutely, I'm going to vote. Okay? Because it's the only methodology of simulated control that you have. That's it. You don't have no control of anything else because you're not putting yourself in a position to get your freedom. Okay? So, sure, I'm going to vote Democrat. Why? Because Democrat seems to treat the people a little better than Republicans. It seems to, but it's not that big a difference. But there is a difference. Ain't that big a difference, but it is a difference, okay? So you have to, whatever crumb that they give you, you got to take it. What else are you going to do, you know? Take the crumb, but start looking at the big picture. Look at the cake. Wait a minute. I got this little teeny slice of this big cake, and I'm happy and satisfied with it. Something's wrong with this picture. How come I'm not making the cake? How come I'm not involved in putting the ingredients together to make the cake? No, you're not involved because the whole culture is designed so that only a few people can make the cake. And if there are too many cooks in the kitchen, spoil the pot, you know? So they don't want too many cooks in the kitchen because they got their little crooked stuff going on. These guys up there don't be following the rules for real, for real. Think about what I'm saying, you know? These guys, they have you under the illusion that you're fighting for freedom. Now, think about this for a second, okay? When this country first started, now evil is the act of forcing their will on somebody else. So when this country first got started, right, how did they get the country? Okay, first of all, George Washington, they were traitors to Britain. Still committing treason, but doing what they're doing, all right? Then they hooked up with the Moors. The Moors teaching them how to run instead of, they ain't know how to run instead of no doggone government. They were esquires. They were lawyers. So then Moors start teaching them how to set up government. Then they betrayed the Moors, okay? Hooked up with the French. Then they betrayed the French. Then Britain came over here and kicked their little butt. They fought for 33 years, had a nice little battle going on. Britain kicked their butt, right? Came over here, burned the White House, the government buildings down, made them sign a treaty so they had to pay reparations back to the Britain. Oh, you didn't know that. Well, look up the Treaty of 1812, you know. Look up read that treaty, and you'll see that the United States didn't win anything, all right? The United States is literally a colony of Britain. So what Britain did, Queen, she's smart. That's why they don't like women up there. Women are powerful. They know what they got to do. That's why they've been suppressing the females for forever, you know? She said, well, if I can control the military, and money, I can control the country. So the corporation that we call the United States, that little corporation up there on Washington, D.C., that's run by head of the corporation, President Obama, at this particular point, that's a corporation owned by Britain. All the banks' main location is in England. Come on, man. They control the money and they control the military. So what does the 52 states got? They have the illusion, okay, that they're free. There ain't no freedom going on in it. There's no freedom going on in this country. So what you need to do, once you understand and start realizing what freedom actually is, you start thinking about different ways to get your freedom. Number one, all right, the first thing you got to do, you got to start making a way to get your food without it coming from the big boys. We're not growing no food. We're not growing anything. We complain a lot about Monsanto. We complain about Monsanto all the time. Monsanto is feeding millions of people. Look in the mirror. Ask yourself, how many people are you feeding every week? Oh, well, I got my children. You run down to the supermarket. You ain't feeding the children. You're buying food from somebody else that's growing the food. So they're feeding your children. They're feeding your children. They're giving you the job so you can get the money to go get to feed your children. You're really caught up in a slave cycle and don't even realize what's going on, you know? Now, you can see this once you're able to cipher the teachings that Yeshua, whom you call Jesus, gave you in the book. But don't throw the book out, man, because they have tricked you. It's so bad about these books, the Quran, Bhagavad Gita, I see all of them. They have tricked you so bad. Most of us in the black community, right, in the black community, don't even know the 42 minutes of the mind. Don't even know mind. When all of the teachings that Jesus and everybody else are using originated in mind. It goes back further than that, but we just go back to mind. Because they don't mind you finding about mind. They don't want you to go further than that. They don't want you to know that Egypt was just a swamp. Before they came here, we had great culture before Egypt was even built. They don't want you to know all that. All right? So I'm just running through some things. I don't want to get too far off track here. But what I'm trying to get at is that here you got people that can barely get out of the rain. And all of a sudden, they found a book. Okay? They found a book that made them wise enough to conquer a global empire. Because that's what you had. Black people had a global empire going here, you know, and they found a way through the book to conquer that global empire, and they've been using the same tactics ever since. They haven't changed their tactics. They're using the same tactics that they used when Constantine first realized, hey, wait a minute, either we're doing something wrong, or when Constantine realized that he was doing something wrong, see, I got to figure out what we're doing here, you know. Bumped into a guy, one of his generals. He's a saint now, but his general was named Maurice. When Constantine's wife's brother, took over Rome, he was on a campaign to get the Gnostics. Those of you who don't know who the Gnostics were, they are the original followers of Yahshua ben Pindaric. Look it up. I'm not making this stuff up, guys. Look it up. And when Maurice, black guy, one of us, when he found out that he was up against his own people, he said, wait a minute, I can't do this. He told the Emperor Rome, so Constantine, I can't do this. Took off his uniform and joined his people. You know what I'm saying? And the army loved him so much because he was a follower of Yahshua ben Pindaric, whom you call Jesus the Christ, or you call him Jesus Christ, but he was a follower of Jesus. And he was acting the way that Jesus was teaching him how to act. And the people, his soldiers, loved him. Because how can you not love somebody that acts like Jesus? Come on, think about it. How could you not love somebody that act like the way Jesus was acting? So when he took off his uniform and joined his people, the soldiers were with him. Constantine said, wait a minute. I can't fight without my soldiers. So Constantine joined Maurice's religious group. And they all got back together and went back and knocked his wife's brother off and took back over Rome. And he merged, because Constantine was a politician. He didn't care about religion or anything else. He just wanted to, he wanted to rule. So he merged the two religions together, which was paganism and well, we call it Christianity then. It wasn't called Christianity then. But he merged the two religions, Christianity, and we had to have the pagan hookup. That's why all the holidays, see what I mean? You have multiple multiple services, multiple types of rituals on the holidays because he merged the two up together, you know? How you have the tree, some people putting the tree up on Christmas, some people putting up the manger with Jesus, right, on the same day, right? What's wrong with that picture? Constantine was a politician, but he knew, he said, something's wrong here. He figured out what was wrong. The religion, people are spiritual beings. Once he realized they were spiritual beings, he said, you can't win and set up nations without a national religion that people can get into. And so that's what he did. And once he did that, he took all the black deities, Zeus, all of them were black, all of them. I'm just, you look it up. They used to call Zeus the black and the glowing. Look it up. He took them all down and put all white folks up there. See what I'm saying? Because he wanted to unify his group, his people. So he put somebody up there to look like him. Nothing wrong with that. He wanted to work somebody to look like you. I don't have a problem with that if you're going to work somebody. But the main point that I'm making is that all of this stems from the Bible. All of this stems from that book. And this is why I give ciphers about the book every week, because the message is for you to understand how powerful the book is. It's the teachings in the book that made them wise enough to overthrow a global empire. And the same teachings in that book, don't you be able to cipher it through the eyes of Jesus, will you be able to get out of this mess, okay? Now, the number one key to getting out of this mess, going back to again, that's why I talk about it every doggone week, the number one key for us to get out of this mess is love. That's the number one key. That's the number one thing. And that's the number one thing that Yahshua ben Bedera, I'm throwing the name out there because a lot of us don't know that his name was actually Yahshua ben Bedera, and that there's no one in history named Jesus Christ, because Christ is not a last name. Christ is a title, all right? So you had a Jesus, the Christ, right? But there was no Jesus Christ. That guy that got strung up on a cross, he's a fake. Look it up. I'm not making this stuff up now. You know what I mean? He does not have skin the color of bird breath. I didn't write that. That's in the book. It's in the same book that you guys are reading. I didn't. He has skin the color of bird breath. That was his complexion, okay? He had woolly hair. He had woolly hair and everything else. I'm not making this up now. I'm just bringing it to your attention so that you can get back into what your ancestors left for you to keep you strong and powerful. If they can separate you from the teachings of your ancestors, they have divided you. And once they divide you, they can conquer you all day long forever. You cannot be divided on what your ancestors have left for you to keep you strong. It's like when your mother or your father leaves and they give you instructions on how to keep your businesses and everything running. The main thing for another businessman to do is to get you away from the people that started the business, because they know the ins and outs of the business. So if they can get you away from their teaching, then they can take over your business. That's what they did. They got you away from their teachings, and they took over your countries, took over your lands, took everything that you had. But they knew that once they took it, they're going to have to bind you, so they had to have a military too, right? I'm going to say this. Now, we have a lot of goose walking around talking about status. Well, status this and status that. So, criminal care doesn't matter what your status is. The only status that a criminal recognizes is your military status. If you don't have a military, they don't care about what you're talking about. When a guy comes into your house, the only thing he's worried about is what kind of weapons he got in there. Can he fight back? Can we go in? That's all they're worried about. They don't care what color you are, who you are. You got gold in your house. It don't matter what your complexion, what race you are. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is can you protect yourself from them when they come? That's the only thing they care about. and they figure out whether you can protect yourself or not. If they see that you can't, what are they going to do? They're going to come in your house, bind a strong man, like you said in the Bible. You can't take over a strong man's house unless you can. You have to bind the strong man, bind the strong man first. See what I'm saying? So you need some type of military control, some type of control. We got powerful businesses in the community. We can literally set up some type of security for ourselves in the community. Go back to Rosewood. You know, Rosewood was rolling like a donut, man. Money, everything. They didn't set up no security for themselves. So what they did, they didn't want nobody to pat themselves at the Rosewood. If the other black communities start patting themselves at the Rosewood, the 1% would have a problem. They would have too much competition. So they got the sheriff department to give the people weapons to go against the community. And they went in and burned the community down. But they didn't learn the lessons of the ancestors. Ancestors told them, you got to have that military. You got to have some type of way to protect what you have. You don't have an enemy, but others perceive you to be their enemy, so you have to adjust yourself accordingly. In this country, you might not view white folks or anybody else as your enemy, but they view you as your enemy. Not only white folks, but it goes to the whole five colors, black, brown, red, yellow, and white. It doesn't matter. They perceive you as an enemy coming against you. You have to protect yourself. I'm not going out and doing anything and trying to hurt nobody. I tell everybody, first chance you get, go down and get a license to carry a firearm. You don't have to buy no weapons. You might not never need a weapon. Some people will buy weapons and never need it. They'll live on the planet for 100 years and never need a weapon, you know? But it's nice to know that if you have to get one, that you don't have to fight the criminals that come against you and the police too, you know? And that's what we're doing. We're fighting the criminals and the police. Because if you go around without the weapon, then the police view you as a criminal. Now you got to fight them, and you got to fight the criminal that's coming in. It's not a good situation for you. The rules are there. Use them. Use the rules. If it was up to me, everybody in the community would be strapped. You know what I mean? It'd be like back at the gunfight at OK Corral. Everybody would have a weapon. And most of us would never, ever use the weapon. But if the man come in your house to bind you, by the time you call the police, you're sitting there waiting on them. They take 10, 15 minutes to get to your house. Depends on what community you're in. You live in a certain community, they'd be in about a minute. They're at your house. Certain communities, it take them 5 to 10 minutes to get to where you are. By that time, they then came in, bind you, took your goods, and gone. Now they got the search for them. I mean, are we looking for suspects and all this kind of stuff? The most dangerous time in your house when somebody come in your house to take your goods is when they run into you. You see what I'm saying? Somebody come in my house, they're going to have to call 911 to get out. I ain't calling 911. They're going to need their phone to get out of my house. They come in my house. You understand what I'm saying? This is how you have to think. If they come, that's your sanctuary. That's your place. That's where you live at. You have to put things in place to protect where you are, okay? I don't think I might got a little bit off track here, but we were talking about politics, all right? Politics is the art of compromise. Let's call it what it is. It's just the art of compromise. And they have to compromise by throwing you under the bus to get something done. They're going to throw you under the bus. That's just how it goes. It's called, what do you call it? They got collateral damage, victim of circumstances, whatever you want to call it, okay? But if they need to get something done in Congress and that bill come up, and the only way to get that bill passed for them is to throw you under the bus, you're going under the bus. It's just that simple. And you have to let these people know that are in office, if they don't do what you're expecting them to do when you vote them in, as soon as the next vote comes, they're out. And if they know that, they will begin to adjust themselves accordingly. You got guys who've been in Congress for 20, 25 years. How they stay in Congress so long and ain't doing that for nobody? They're doing something for somebody. It just ain't you, you know? So you have to begin to adjust yourself accordingly, all right? The ciphers are there. The teachings are there. But you have to go in and read between the lines. Everything is not in black and white. But the information is there for you to get out of this mess. You can become just as wise people that took over your culture, took over your country, took your land, they took everything. These the same people that thought the world was flat, man. When you travel all over the world, having comments over the world, they think the world was flat. Think they're gonna follow the world. Where did they get the information from? How did they become so wise? Right now, the 1% all over the planet looking for your information, the cuneiform tablets and everything else. They're looking for this stuff because they need more wisdom. They're not wise enough to keep this going, so they're looking for more wisdom. Where are they going to get it from? From your ancestors, the same ones that you disregarded because they got you thinking that we was running around with spears all day long and did nothing. We was hunters and gatherers. That's a whole bunch of crap. Evolution is a bunch of crap. All that's crap. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, well, it's crap. I mean, I got to say it the way it is. Darwin, the Darwinian theory is a bunch of crap. I'm just telling you right now. There ain't no missing link. You're not even from this planet. You're from someplace else. They can look forever and they're going to find no link between you and the natural inhabitants of the planet. Who are the natural inhabitants of the planet? Yeti, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, those guys, they're the natural inhabitants of the planet. Their bone structure is different than ours, okay? We came here looking just like we look right now. We didn't evolve into anything. Anyway, I didn't want to get into evolution and all that because they got us arguing about that back and forth. We can't agree on that either. Like I say, they got us to the point where we can't agree on nothing, even when the evidence supports that there was no evolution. Okay, and I'm telling you now, there was no Big Bang. Wait a minute, you got to be kidding, Belittle. He had to be a Big Bang. How'd everything start? Whew, that's a whole other lecture. But there was no Big Bang, okay? The noise that they listen to up there is the natural noise of the universe as the planets and stuff are in motion. That's the noise they listen to. They're not listening to a noise coming back from 29 million billion years ago when they said the noise, you can still hear the noise. A bunch of crap. You know what I mean? I mean, common sense. Oh, I did it again. I get so excited about these topics because I love talking about this stuff. But the thing I'm saying is that the ciphers are there, all right? Don't let nobody shake you off of your ancestral teachings, okay? But don't get into the teachings as if that was yesterday. That's not today. Same thing that went on yesterday is going on today. The same gang war that was going on, it's called a tribal conflict, the same gang war that's going on today. If you watch Empire, right, they wouldn't give him the IPO until they knew that his family was going to be involved with taking over the company. Family situation, that's what's going on. They want to know that the tribe is going to run the family. The family is the business. But the business has to be run by the tribe because the tribal leader who started all this stuff is going to pass down information to the children so that they can keep the business going. He's not going to give the information to strangers. He's going to give it to his children. That's why they want the tribal members involved with the business. That's the family. Well, I didn't mean to get off into that, but I'm just going to say this. If you remember The Godfather, the movie, right? The guy came after Michael Corleone. He said, Michael Corleone, I'm going to start my own family. Well, this guy married with two children. He's talking about starting my own family. The family is the economic structure that you have to deal with your tribe. See, each time that you have children, you get married, that's extension of another tribe. That's extension of your tribe, okay? Now, the family, I say this again because you're not used to hearing this kind of stuff. The family is the economic structure that you have to take care of your tribe, right? What type of, I want you to think about this. What type of economic structure right now do you have to take care of your tribe? Your mother, your father, your grandfather, your tribe, and your entire diaspora. Sometimes it's for my mother and my father, right? They're not here now, but it's at least 300 or 400 descendants directly from my mother's father. Just say directly from my mother. But there's at least 300 or 400 descendants. Okay? Now, what economic structure do you have to take care of? Most of us don't even network together with the family to sell goods and services to each other. A lot of times you won't even buy the goods and services that your family is selling. They be in business and you don't even go and participate in the business. You don't buy nothing from them. You go around the corner and buy from somebody else to try. You know? It's only because you're losing out on your wisdom because you're not keeping in tune the books. Everything that you're reading, everything that they're learning in these books, don't think in terms of that back in the day. Think in terms of right now. Because everything that's happening in these books is happening right now. The gang war, the politics, everything is happening right now. Use the books to figure out what to do to get to your end game. Wait a minute. Do you guys have end games? Think about that. Think about your end game. I went too far again. The next portion of this is economics. That's why I'm leaning on economics right now. But before I do that, we're going to stop for a minute and let's get these mics open. I also want to thank everybody that's on the line. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. I look at these numbers here and I say, oh, boy, this is great that I know I'm not here just speaking to the wind and somebody listening to the message. Thank you so much. We're getting calls from different parts of the planet, which is good. They ask some questions about different things, and I think that's really good, and I like that. And okay, so it's the Elohim Radio Show. We're here on Sunday. I stopped saying every Sunday because I hit the miss a couple of times. So we're here on Sunday at 3 p.m. Philadelphia time. The call-in number is 646-564-9888. Press 1 in the dial if you want to give us a shout-out. We do not mention your name unless you want us to only use the last four digits of your phone number. If you have a company or a group and you want to give us a shout-out, feel free to do so. Just press 1. You can give the name and the address, the phone number of your country. You have a church. If you have a church and you want to give the name of your church, because a lot of the third press that I give out, some disagree with it, some agree with it. And if you have a church, and even if your thought process is different than mine, we still would like for you to just give your opinion and then give your number and stuff so that people who think like you think will be able to come down to your church and have a dialogue with you. You can have a dialogue with them, okay? We also have our released our first gospel CD called 911 Jesus of Mercy. Jesus is coming. The CD link is cdbaby/TD4/ Elohim Christ. I'm going to be moving kind of fast. I'm going to go back over here. Just press 1, and I'll reiterate any part of the commercial that you want, okay? Now, we ask ourselves, where is Jesus coming from? We think he's coming from the same place he came from the first time out of the goddess's womb. So your sisters out there, be mindful of what you're dumping. The child you keep might just be the one to get us out of this mess that we're in. So don't take our chance from us. We need these babies, you know, because children are getting smarter and smarter and smarter. Okay. So don't check out my book, Tyrannical Scriptures, Part 2. I haven't released Part 1 yet. I'm getting the planet ready for Part 1. The planet ain't quite ready for Part 1 yet, but Part 2 they're ready for. Christ has come. For more information on the CD or book, call TCCA at 215-294-0223. That's from 9 to 5. You can talk, ask questions, or whatever you want, okay? Now, the Will Am Show is coming right after mine. He's here every Sunday at 3 o'clock Central. The call number is 218-632-0460. The PIN number is 726-476-87-POUND. Okay, he talks about everything under the sun. That was very knowledgeable. I love to hear him speak. I listen to his show every week because the stuff he's dropping, the same cycles as in the book. And on his show, I kind of relate back and forth to what's in the Bible, what he's dropping, and I like his show. Okay, and I would like to give a shout out to Horace Butler for his book When Rocks Cry Out. I like him because he understands our history and helps fill in the missing pieces. I'm not going to get into the references, but looking him up, he's also on YouTube. The Hospital and Last Cry Out, and you can get some information about his book, okay? We got The Legacy of a Nation, Hospital by the Mac and Son. It comes on every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern. They talk about they talk about Black history, health, politics, and economics, and the call-in number is 347-677-1533. I'd like to give a shout-out to the Mickey Love Show. She's a spiritual advisor. She comes on every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 10:30 p.m. The call-in number for the show is 347-215-8040. You can also get her on her website, Mickey Love Wunam, W-N-O-M. .com, Mickey Love Wunam, okay? We'd also like to give a shout out to the Black Cross Nurses, Division 178 at 53rd and Gerard, Philadelphia. And boy, do we need our own nurses. The doctors are killing us, okay? It's headed by our sister, Bettina Muhammad. The call number is 215-796-0366. We'd like to give a shout out to RBG Industries. They make designer clothes, buttons, and flags. So if you want a good tailor made outfit, call 609-638-5828. I'd like to give a shout out to Thomas Thornton, who writes under the name of Yesterday's Child. He has an old school style out of Philadelphia. He has 6 CDs on the market. Just Google CD80, then type in Yesterday's Child. Or you can call Thomas Thornton directly for more information at 267-259-4077. I'd also like to give a shout-out to the Heaven Bound Gospel Center. They have just released their new CD called Reflections. For more information on the album and how to book the group, call Patrick at 215-477-1419. I've seen these guys throw down, and what a treat it was for me. So treat yourself. Go and check these guys out now. I'd also like to give a shout-out to our residential naturopathic healers and doctors, Dr. Paul. His number is 215-779-7355. Or Dr. Bill. His number is 631-561-3864, okay? So if you are, so call these guys, and don't worry. You talk to these guys, you will be healthy because they got remedies for you that will keep you out of trouble, health-wise, okay? Now, we have a handout, and sorry it took so long to read all that, but I'm reading as I can here to get through it. We have all of 6915. Your mic is open. You're on the air. Would you like to make a comment or give a shout out?
Yes, this is Brother Siddiqui. Peace, hey, brother. Race, hey. First brother Elohim. Peace. You know what I mean? Great show today. Message and the information which you shared with us today was right on point, because I was thinking about us as a people losing our status in the world because of the fact of the army situation. We let ourselves vulnerable, and at this particular time, we're still vulnerable because even though we might create an economic stability somewhere, there's always someone who has more power to take that away from us. And I feel, you know, the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey failed in that way just the same. Even though he had an army in place, he never reacted to the opposition when it came up. And, you know, that was the closest period of time we had to be liberated, you know, because he had the whole full structure in place. But due to the fact that that military part of his the government that he established was never engaged when opposition came up, and I appreciate that you covered that point today, you know, and us securing ourselves, you know, because there's no way we're going to come out of the situation without having some kind of defense against any opposers that's coming, you know, to address us in our own homes or in any other matter. And it's you just covered a legitimate point that we as a people right now not looking at. We're just thinking that it's just a second thought, last thought, rather than being one of the first thoughts, because we don't realize that this is why we're in the situation we're in right now, is because of that. Our structure of defense was not in place, and right now we're paying for that through several generations, you know. So thank you for, you know, bringing that point up once again, you know.
Well, thank you very much for being on the line and listening. We appreciate your comment, and thank you very much. And as you say, race first, and stay black. Okay.
All the time, man. That's how I feel. I feel black. Okay. All right, brother. Thanks again.
You're welcome. So we're going to move right along here. Now, as listening, we come out, before we went into commercial, I was going into economics. I'm doing economics again because I didn't really get a chance to actually get into the full thing of economics last week. So I want to go over economics just a little bit, okay? But before I do, I just want to just touch on a couple points that you have to, you have to find a way to come together as a people. And the best way out is love. So you have to come together, learn how to love each other, because that's the key to the whole thing. If you just rally around trying to teach each other how to love one another, America will change, your community will change, your tribe will change, what you mistakenly call family, but your tribe will change. You know, even your business, which is your family, that will take on a whole new aspect too. Just remember, whenever you come together for the best interest, they pay people to come against you. So remember, that's how they got the vote to crucify Jesus. They had to pay people to go against him. So whenever you're trying to do something, they do not want you to succeed. If they have to, they're paying people to come against you, and they're doing this all over the world. These guys are now called economic hitmen. That's what they're called now. You can look it up, go and Google it up. And there's a lot of people out there talking about explaining what's going on, especially people that were in government. They're explaining to you about the economic hitmen and what's going on. So when you read these stories, especially little stories about how they pay people to come against you, you know, when you hear about the civil war that's going on in different countries, they set this up by paying people to come against the people that's in power, especially if they don't have the agenda of the 1% in mind, but they're worried about taking care of the people. They do not want anyone to take care of the people. Once you start taking care of the people and people begin to recognize you as somebody that loves them and is trying to help them, they will definitely come and get you if they're not getting the credit for the service that you're providing to the community, okay? Now, we're down to about 10 minutes here, so I'm just going to go through the economic structure right quick. although we spent a whole hour talking about economics, but we're going to do it in about 10 minutes. The first thing you have to do is realize what economics is. Economics is somebody else working and paying you. And regardless of what they're teaching you in those colleges, because they teach you in colleges to be a slave to the 1%. This information teaches you how to be free from the 1% so that you can engage in an equal dialogue with the 1% economically, okay? Now, this is those who have children. The first thing you teach your children, right, when they come out of school, because a lot of us don't have the money to pay for college and things like that, and they go in and start borrowing all this money, get in debt, and they can't get their way out of debt, and they're so far in debt that it takes them 20 or 30 years before they actually start making any progress economically. Teach your children when they come out of school, work two jobs, right, save one, live off the other, okay, that's the 50% budget. And if most jobs pay $10,000 a year, and they're working two jobs, they have to work every day, but they don't have to work two jobs every day because each job will give you 2 days off. So you're only working a double shift for 3 days, right? But you won't get no days off. You're working 7 days a week. So you save one, live off the other, and you buy a three-story property. I live on the first floor in the basement. You can fuck the first floor in the basement out, so it's like a two-story house, okay? And you rent the other two floors out. This will give you economics, somebody else working and paying you rent. That's how you get your children to start. They get three or four more properties like that. That's enough for them to pay their way to college, get that little brand new car that they want every year, and they can keep going on. Now, how much they make is actually up to them. So don't be in a hurry to kick the children out of the house. You know, they want us to get the children out of the house and make you feel bad. I'm staying with my parents, you know. No, that's a good thing if you're staying with your parents, okay, especially if you're working and throwing a little something your parents away, give your parents a few dollars, you know. Don't just stay in the house, live there, making all this money, and don't help your parents out with all the bills and stuff like that there, okay? And that's how you begin, okay? That will get you started on a 50% budget. Your income will be only limited to what you can think of. You can make as much money as you want. Now, I used to say, the Oprah used to say, the streets are paved with gold. The buildings, that's the goal. See what I'm saying? The streets are paved with these buildings that you can use these buildings to get paid with and make this money to get whatever you want. All right? So just remember, economics is somebody else working and paying you. Now, I mentioned earlier that the family, they teach us that mama, papa, baby, that's your family. That's not true. That's your tribe. Your family is the economic structure that you're using to take care of your tribe. Now, I'm not talking about no job. Your job is not an economic structure for your family, although for your tribe. Although you're using it to take care of your tribe, but your job is not an economic structure to take care of your tribe, okay? Economics is somebody else working and paying you. You have to have some type of residual income. Well, you say, well, I'm doing the best I can, but I can't seem to get to this building. Write a poem. There's a guy that making $40, $50 a day. He wrote one poem, put on a piece of paper, and he walks downtown selling a poem for $1. And people give him $1 for the poem, you know? And he's making $30, $40 a day just with the one poem every day, selling the poem. So you can register your poems. You can make a poem book. You can cut a record. There's a lot of different ways that you can get money. Your money can make money for you. Your money can become residual income. You have to learn how to invest your money so that your money can pay you, right? Now, I know when you say investment, everybody thinks about stock market. Well, that's gambling. If you don't mind gambling, well, stock market, that's a good way to go. But that's gambling. You can lose everything you got, okay? The best way to invest your money is to invest your money in commodities, okay? How do you do that? Well, there's certain things that you can get, like precious metals. Gold has a tendency to go up. Start buying gold. Diamonds have a tendency to go up. Start buying diamonds. Now your money that you have, that you bought in gold, it's starting to accumulate, starting to be worth more and more and more the longer you have it. So there's a lot of ways that you can make money without going out here gambling and wasting your money in the stock market, okay? Now, some people learn how to gamble pretty good, and they do very well. Then you have professional gamblers out there. They're the brokers, the stock market brokers. They're professional gamblers. All they do is study the trends on the market and can tell you what kind of put option to take, whether the stock is going to rise or the stock is going to fall. You know, they can tell you whether to bet through a put option that it's going to fall. You can make money betting that the stock's going to sell. You can make money that the stock's going to succeed. So you can make money whether the stock market go up or down if you know a little bit about how to gamble in the market. Okay, that's what the 401Ks are all talking about. They're gambling in the market. I know a lot of people that have them 401Ks and lost all that stuff, especially when the stock market took a tumble when the Republicans were stealing all the money. Yeah, they were like stealing all the money, you know. They say, well, the money lost, stock market. No, if you have four people in a room and there's $10 in the middle of the floor, if that $10 go missing, somebody got that $10. And when them stock market crashed and all the money, somebody's got that money. Money just don't disappear. Somebody took that money, you know. So don't get caught up in the illusion of what they're trying to trick you into thinking, you know. Okay, well, we got about 60 seconds here. So I want to just stop a minute and take the time to thank everybody for calling. The Eagles is playing today, and the board is full. Thank you very much. So that's something to think about. You know, you're not caught up in that distraction. At least we're doing something that we can get a nice message, because the message is designed to activate your DNA. I want you to think differently about the ancestors' teachings, about what your ancestors left for you, so that you can become as wise and as powerful as the people that took everything from you. And once you start getting that wisdom, you can go and get it back. The wisdom is in the messages and the teachings that your ancestors have left for you, so that you can propagate what they have set up for you. not lose everything. This is why every generation we're poor from generation to generation, because we are not using what our mothers and fathers, left for us to use to become powerful. Okay? And I got about 10 seconds left, so I'm going to take these 10 seconds and say, love is and always will be the answer. Love is the act that makes others feel good. I want to thank you so much for calling in, and I will see you next week. Much love.